Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the living bread, Jesus says in this text. Whoever eats of me will live forever. So in my monthly peruse of Facebook, which happens once a month, whether I like it or not, there were a bunch of postings by my colleagues from all over the country. And the number one question was, is this text about the Eucharist or not? Probably occupied your whole week, didn't it? You worried about it like I did. Actually, I didn't, because I go with downtown Raymond Brown, who says without question, this is nothing to do with the Eucharist. This is about Jesus. It happens in the middle of his life. It's not really about his death or what happens close to his death. There is no Passover meal for John. Not now. Jesus says these incredibly powerful and inflammatory words to those who are gathered around him. I am the bread of life. If you eat me, whoever eats of me will live forever. Even the verb that Jesus uses is not the nice, gentle eat, as in politely eating your dinner, phago, but it's literally crunch me. I mean, it's kind of a graphic way to talk about eating. Crunch me. Take me into yourself. Make me a part of yourself. It's his boldest statement yet. So the objections of those who hear his words are certainly understandable. Jesus seems to be making a claim that is impossible and certainly not digestible for any of us or any of them. Actually, I really appreciated Sophie's response, well, that would make me a cannibal. Exactly. So you can see why people are angry. But Jesus in this text is beginning to parallel the manna of the wilderness again. Remember, as part of that reading, Jesus says, this is not the kind of bread like your ancestors ate in the wilderness and again became hungry. This is a different kind of bread that if you eat of it, you will live forever. The other bread you eat and you feel better for a little while, but then, of course, you die. This is something different. Well, when they hear Jesus speak in this way, they must have thought to themselves, how much more of this can we take? How much more of this claim by this itinerant preacher will we have to endure? He claims to be the bread of life, the bread of heaven, and that if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, oh, how disgusting, that we will somehow find eternal life. How much more can we take? How much more can he demand of us before we finally have to give up? I think the same is true for us as we read this text. As we respond to Jesus' call in the gospel to be God's people, to be bread for the world, to take his very flesh, his body, and his blood and give it over and over and over to a world that is hungry, don't you sometimes find yourself wondering, how much more can I take? How much more can I do? This time of year in the church, we're busy pulling together our summer programming. The fall programming. So, yeah, we plan way ahead here at LCH. We're already planning for next summer. The fall programming. And it's been fun to watch this string of emails, both from my colleagues and from all of you, and even from myself. You know, can you do this? Can you do that? And eventually someone will say, I cannot do any more. Ask somebody else. It's just too much. I experienced it this week when I was sitting with my colleagues and someone said, hey, can someone make a flyer? Can someone make a flyer? How many times do you hear that? I hear that like five times a week. Can you make a flyer for the Hukilau conference? And I thought, this time I'm not going to say yes. And I sat and I waited and I waited and I waited. And I find that I am the only one who is uncomfortable with silence. It's a skill that I absolutely must learn. We're all too busy for ministry. All too busy, it seems. As a matter of fact, this time of year, as things begin to get busier and busier, don't you have your list of excuses ready at hand, like a quiver of arrows on your back? There's got to be a reason I can't do it. When you look at the apostles, especially the Acts of the Apostles, you see the early disciples in the same kind of conundrum. They're on fire for Jesus, but they're wondering just how much more can they take? How much more can they do? Frankly, I think in this text, Jesus just simply asks too much. Too much of us, too much of those who heard his strange words. Too much, too much. Unless, and there's always an unless, we're not seeing the question quite right. Jesus says, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. If you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will live forever. We sort of have a tendency to decide just how much we can take of that and how much we can do sort of on the front end. We find ourselves on the defensive because we feel so overwhelmed, and I know some of you are. But what if instead we listened to wisdom? Wisdom of a different kind. Not wisdom that says, how much can I endure, or how much can I do, or how many more demands can God make of me? But instead, ask the question that my friend Steve Uhlberg answered one day. Someone asked Steve one time, how many instruments do you play? Because he's one of these disgusting people that nobody likes and everybody loves. Who, you know, you could hand him a 12th century flugelhorn and he'd play it. Never seen one before in his life. But he plays all of these instruments and he has them all around him when he plays. And someone asked him one time, how many instruments do you play? And he said, I don't know yet. What if that's the answer that we give to God? When asked, how much more can you do? How much more bread can you eat? How much more flesh can you take into your body? How much more of the Spirit can you work for? What if our answer instead of is no more is I don't know yet? I don't know what I'm capable of as an individual. I don't know what you're capable yet of as a church. What if we answered the question, that manna question, with an I'm not sure yet, instead of I already know? What if the blowing wind of the Spirit is opening us up in ways that we never imagined? There's a show on TV, which I'm not a big TV fan, but this thing caught me, and it's, you know Bear Grylls? He spells his name really stupid. Anyway, it's Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls goes around the world. He's a survivalist. He's one of these guys you dump off into an island in the middle of the Pacific with a teaspoon of water and a pack of sugar, and he comes out with 8 bottles of wine and, you know, gains 8 pounds. Well, he's been taking on this thing where he takes Hollywood stars and they dump them in the middle of the wilderness and then they have to find their way out. And in every single case, what I've been struck with is at the end of the time, the Hollywood star finds in themselves something they never expected. At the beginning of the thing, they said, I cannot do this. There is no way that I am going to rappel down a 400-foot cliff no matter what you say. And yet, when they get to the bottom, they had no idea what was in them. I think what Jesus understands about us and about the early church is that they didn't know yet, and we don't know yet what we're capable of. We don't know yet what God will do in us, or how the Spirit will blow in us, or how God is using us again and again for the good of the world. I know that I need to change how I think, to no longer automatically say, nope, I can't do that, I am at my limit. And begin to think instead, I'm not sure yet what I'm capable of. I don't know how much God will do with me, or how much joy I can possibly have in it. That's the wisdom, I think, that we need to begin to develop as God's people. A wisdom rooted not in the limits of what we think we can and cannot do, but ask the question. Give the answer. I don't know yet what I'm capable of. What is it you want of me, Lord? And how can I serve? I think we can do that because we have been rooted in a promise of Jesus, who in the middle of this text says, all who eat and drink of me, I will abide with you. In the midst of you having taken me into your body and into your soul, bread and blood, body and soul, you are remade in me, and I will be present with you through it all. It's only because of that promise that we can dare to say, I don't know yet all that God will do with us. I suspect that we have more capacity and more ability and more power and more humility and more service than we think we do. I have the privilege of seeing it in your eyes every time you come to the altar and receive bread and wine. Some of you hesitantly, some of you with great humility, some of you as a matter of habit, but most every one of you understand that you are receiving God's true manna. And that you walk away from this table with God's promise. And in that promise, new beginnings. Maybe we need to no longer place limits on ourselves and on our congregation.